Hey guys, just want to take a few seconds to thank you as always for listening to the podcast. I do apologize, this one again is a little late. We had some technical difficulties on the audio side, so you're gonna get a discussion between two really good players, Tilt Bro and Fuchsia Briefs. Kind of pre-patch what we kind of wanted from Gwent. We also talk about how they make their decks. We also talk about what we think CDPR needs to do for Gwent and things like that. So I think it'd actually be kind of cool to listen to it after the patches come out to kind of see, like, were we even close to all how it all worked out? Were some of the things we wanted, were those taken care of? So it'll be interesting to hear it again, especially for me, to see, like, wow, I was completely off. So again, thank you guys as always. Please hit the subscribe button in your podcast engine of choice. It helps us a lot more than you know. Comment as well, and ratings is also huge, especially for Apple Podcasts. So if you like the channel and you're unable to use the sponsorship link, this is a great way to do it. Just throw us a rating, throw us some comments, and help us get the attention I think the podcast deserve, and we continue to grow. So, and that's all because of you guys. So guys, without further ado, I hope you enjoy the podcast. I had a great time with this one, so let's go.
You spent all this time thinking of me. How come you're not there when you got me? I know that you're busy, so make the time. If you want this with me, do me right. I could be somewhere else, but I'd rather be with you, and that's what I call time well spent.
Hello everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is Dark Temp 66. We have the great Ezra as always joining us. Q-Senta is taking a little break from the podcast tonight, so we won't hear his illustrious, wonderful voice. But to take his place, we got two of some fantastic players who are joining. We're going to let them introduce themselves and talk about themselves. So go for it, guys.
Yeah, I'll start then. My name's Reese. I also go by Tilt Bro in the community. I'm relatively new to Gwent. I started in September 2019. Around the Iron Judgment expansion. And I only very recently started a stream around 4 months ago. And 1 month into that, I was contacted by Team Legacy to join their team as a content creator. And happily, I've been a part of them since September. And more recently, I've joined their pro team, which is really good for 2021. I'm hoping to qualify for an open someday. I'm not sure when. I'm not sure how, but hopefully it will happen one day.
It's gonna be this one, man. What do you?
That's awesome.
Breathe it into the possibility.
We'll see, man. We'll see. Like, go for the stars. Let's go.
Yeah. Reach for the sky.
Right. Top 20 player in the world consistently, man. You're gonna be in the next one, yeah, for sure.
I think you'll be all right.
Never top 20 actually, but almost.
What? Almost.
I thought you okay. Well, wasn't there a season you were top 20 though?
I think I reached top 11 once. But then I sort of just fell down at the end. The problem I have is I don't jam enough games.
Yeah.
You know, you get those jammers every year on ladder, every season on ladder. I'm just not one of those guys, unfortunately.
Yeah, so
I have to be more efficient.
Is it Bart or now we have Bart, January dropping almost 1,000 games in a season?
Yeah, they're great guys. Yeah, they're really good at the game.
I couldn't even. Yeah. Well, thank
good
you
for
so
you,
much
man.
For joining
I
us.
Can't
yeah,
fathom
that. Awesome. And you know the voice of the other person that's joining us. Let him introduce himself.
Hey, guys. This is Fuchsia Briefs. I'm a Gemini. I make Gwent videos. I've been playing Gwent for probably over 2 years now. Since open beta, anyway. I migrated from the PS4 days. That's how I used to play. And I started my video career on that. And then when the console, when they shut down, I went for, I don't know, at least 6 months without making any content, but then I ramped it back up, guys. And it's just a hobby. It's fun for me. It's very flattering that anyone would want to spend any time watching the Moneymaker here, and it's an honor and very flattering for you guys to have me on now. It's great, so thank you.
Man, it's our pleasure.
Yeah, it's our pleasure for
your
sure.
Your videos so. Are literally probably one of the reasons why we made our first meme deck, well, not too far back.
All right, so so the people who are listening, like, we try to cater to multiple different audiences when it comes to Gwent, the new players, the pro players, people that play on the side, things like that. So, I mean, what are the top decks you guys are kind of playing right now? I mean, I know you get a lot of complaints here and there about the health right now and where it's going, but right now, what do you guys think are your top decks?
Personally, I've been jamming a lot of Scoia'tael Devotion, Symbiosis. I feel like despite its lack of tool punish, it's really strong in the meta as it craps out a lot of points over the three rounds. Other than that, I've been playing NR Witches, which you all know is really strong at the moment. With all the carryover you get, with the amount of point slam, the amount of engines you have, it's just a really strong deck. I try to stay principled, let's say, and not play degenerate decks. So I very rarely touch Fee, Colgrim, Lippy. I just go for more ethical decks. So I don't feel that I hate myself when I'm playing this game. I've already got the meta to hate. I don't want to hate myself on top of that. So I'm just trying to, you know, stay clean. Essentially.
Doesn't want to cater to the scum of the Gwent community.
I don't want to promote that, no.
You're playing Skellige. There's nothing clean about your playstyle.
PF, Patch Sword of Fury Devotion. That's about as clean as you can get for Skellige.
No, I got
apart you. From mushrooms, maybe.
Yeah, actually, shrooms is beginning a lot of popularity. I like it. Yeah. I've been playing it too.
With the portal, right? Portal and yep. The depths. Yeah.
The fish flappers.
Fish flappers, exactly.
Man, it's such a shame.
Does
about
from me?
Lippy. I love Lippy. It's such a unique card, and I don't know how you fix it, because it's too easy now to just reshuffle your good stuff. I used to play a deck back when we had the discard leader ability, whatever that was called, where it was focused more on that, and you play stuff like Muzzle and Uma's Curse, create more golds to then shuffle back in and play later. It was RNG nonsense, but it was fun. But now it's, you know, I get PTSD whenever I see that blue card pop up. It's a nightmare.
So for people who just kind of started playing, what broke Lippy? What made it so overwhelming that it wasn't, let's say, like 5-6 months ago?
Ceres.
Mm-hmm.
Ceres made it broken.
I was honestly going to say just the fact that you have the ability to reshuffle Heatwave or Onira, not Onira, but what's the other card? Curse of Corruption, Totem, like all that, of that reshuffled back in for later. Oh my god, it's like, okay, I take it out one time, but no, it's gonna come back for, you know, later.
Because by itself, Ceres is really strong. However, when used a second time with a second spawn, Shield Maiden, it's a really strong tempo play. And if Lippy gets round control in round one, i.e., on red coin, you're pretty much screwed, because they'll just bleed you in round two down to a few cards, and then just, you know, spit out 30, 40 points in a few cards in round three.
Yeah.
It's really strong.
Does it have a really, really bad matchup? I mean, if you were...
V, funnily enough. It takes a D-gen to beat a D-gen. because they've got the Unicorn, which can sometimes bring out the Lippy in round one. And
speaking on this topic, I played V this morning, and I actually unicorned out Lippy and still lost.
How?
Because the guy literally saved Heatwave and Curse of Corruption for round three.
Round three.
Damn.
And just killed both my tall punishes and played the Heron Kadook. And then he played Lugos. And then he played, I think it was two Gutting Slashes. And I was just like, okay, what do I do now? I don't have anything left. I had a 6-point noon wraith by the end of the game. I was like, okay, Lippy really just beats everything now.
Yeah, well, and it got a few buffs. You have to remember those buffs in the most recent expansion. You know, the buff to Roach, the buff to Nickers, Hayden Kaduk, which is a ridiculous card when you think about it. It plays for 22 points over two cards. If you play it first and you play a Bear Witcher and you heal both of them, it's a lot of points to them.
Well, I credit my climb to pro rank this season solely to I would tech in Regis Bloodlust, because that takes care of Ceres.
Ah.
You just banish it. It takes care of Matic, which was kind of popular for, a week or two there. And it takes care of Flying Redanian if you're ever against Hidden Cash, which is still a solid deck, but you don't see it much, really. And apart from all that, it's still a pretty good removal card. So that's one slight answer for you folks if you're facing a lot of Lippy.
Yeah, because, I mean, I guess that does explain having to use a 4-point heat wave for Ceres, and then lose.
Yeah.
For people who are new to the game and are trying to climb the ladder, I mean, do you think Lippy is the way for them to go? Do you think it's a hard deck for, like, a new player to pilot, or do you think it's something... What would you recommend climbing the ladder? I mean, it seemed like everyone was playing V for a while.
Yeah. I think V and Lippy are viable decks to climb to pro rank, or just to climb in general. They're fairly easy to pilot. There's no real intricacy to their game plan. It's just point slam for the most part. Yeah, so I'd definitely recommend those two lists for sure.
And V is a pretty
V is similar to Gurney in the past, right? Just play your cards in the right order, make sure you consume them, etc.
Yeah. So I mean, do you think we were having a conversation with Devil Driven on the last episode, and people were bringing up points that this has kind of turned Gwent into, like, what your matchup is, right? It all comes down to the matchup and whether you're drawing the cards. Now, do you think that is a culture of Gwent players who are just building one-sided decks, and players just need to get better at building decks to be good against multiple matchups? Or do you think it really is a problem with the game?
I'd say it's a problem with the game for the most part. The Q roulette, especially this meta, has been really strong. It's very difficult to make a deck that beats all. You have to make some concessions somewhere and say to yourself, in this particular matchup, on this particular coin, I'm very unfavored. Because if you start teching for each opponent, the overall quality of your deck becomes a lot weaker. For example, I'm playing Devotion Symbiosis. If I face V, do I start saying to myself, I'm going to run Poison? As we know, the Poison cards are really power crept now, and that'll just make a lot of matchups a lot worse. So I think you have to take it on the chin, say that you lose certain matchups, but aim for a bulk of opponents that you'll be favored against. I'd say that's the best way about approaching this game at the moment.
I think, you know, I read something on Reddit where it says, like, Gwent hasn't even become the Witcher card game. It's become the Vi, Lippy, Kekdown game. Because that's how binary it is right now at the moment.
I'd say every other opponent, at the very least, is either going to be one of those three cards. Three decks for sure. Yeah. I mean, if you want to be fairly successful in this game at the moment, you have to probably tech for at least... I'd say one of those three decks, or else you're just going to have a really hard time.
Well, yeah.
I mean, unless you're trying to have fun, of course.
I think that is why Lockdown is so popular at the moment, too.
Yeah, like I said, it all goes back down to, like, why Lockdown has gotten so popular. It's because it maintains the checks and balances, I guess, in the game right now with those three factions.
Yeah, for sure.
So when you guys are making decks and making videos, and, you know, what's kind of your inspirations for those types of decks? I know Future, your decks, was it the triple incantation?
Quadruple. I got quadruple. Five that, down.
That was my favorite. That was my favorite deck. I was like, what is your inspiration when you're making them? Just give people kind of an idea.
Well, I work... shift work, so I have a lot of cold, lonely nights to fill my time with, and ever since Gwent was on mobile, I walk around where I work and go through the deck builder. I've been told that I play meme decks, right, which I don't argue with, but I would break that down. You got the pure RNG cards like Cosimo and the Rune Rites, right, for example, and Uma's Curse. And I love those cards as much as the next bloke. But I would say I specialize more in the high risk, high reward decks that require a lot of setup for a janky combo that is either going to win you the game by 100 points or you go down in flames. When I'm trying to think of a new deck, I'll just go through the deck builder and I'll either look for cards that never see play, like Tatterwing or Sabrina's Inferno, and try to build a deck solely around that card, or I look for cards that are pretty broad in their application, like Syana or Adarin or Letho Kingslayer in Nilfgaard that can copy any other card that's on the board. So for Syana, for example, I just go in the deck builder, hit the units tab, search deploy, and just find a new card that I haven't used before and try to make that the combo. Or for a Darren, you just look for the word spawn and see what janky combos you can come up with that. They don't always work.
Now that you talk about your double deploy with Syana, it was your Syana Letho, I believe, Kahir deck with the yin.
Nasty business. Yeah.
Yeah, that got me my highest score ever. I got like 286 points against the Shroom deck with that. It was hilarious.
Very nice. That's great. Yeah, I mean, they don't always work. And my videos, I rarely show losses because to me, it's not really entertaining if you don't pull off the combo that you're trying to do. And I've had criticism in the past that it inflates the idea that these decks are stronger than they really are. But I don't think any of the audience has any illusions that I lose as much as everyone else, you know. I'm just not showing them. That's basically my process, if you want to call it that. Man, we need some new material, new content, please. I'm running dry.
There's only so much he can come up with.
Yeah.
What about you, Tilt?
In regards to deck building, not a lot has changed in the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. The expansion didn't bring that many new cards that changed the game. So for the most part, the bedrock of most factions has remained the same. What changes week on week is what tech cards you add. So for example, you've all seen Nova Colgrim, right? Recently? No?
Maybe a couple of times. No.
The past 2-3 days. So essentially, it's a Nova deck lockdown, and the idea is to thin and clog at the same time. You also have control cards like Hefty Helge, etc. And obviously, you play your Colgrim, it's getting 10 points a turn, etc. So obviously, if I'm playing Devotion Symbiosis, I can't deal with that. So I'll tech a lock, for example. So mostly, it's just about tech choices that give you an edge in the current trends. I think that's the best way to climb in pro rank. Be very perceptive of what you're facing at the moment and react to that. So if you're seeing a lot of, say a lot of V in NR, which is you'll take a Geralt of Rivia, for example, to give you that edge.
I've seen that version. So that's how I like that version more.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't really net deck per se. I'll just take strong decks and change a few cards to suit my needs and what I see in the meta.
Was it you that came up with the inspiration behind the Triss Lacerate list when you were trying to go against Lippy? Like, I think you made that NG list.
I whipped up a Triss Lacerate deck, double cross, with a strong Assimilate core and a few, So essentially at that time I was facing a lot of Lippy and a lot of Lockdown. So I thought to myself, what beats both? And what sprung to mind was the Triss Lacerate and the Angoulême. So in my version, I didn't run ball. I just copied the ball of my opponent, essentially. And that gives you a 3-point body and it's 5 provisions cheaper. And that just gives you a humongous edge in the mirror. Because I also run Heatwave. So you Heatwave the opponent's Masquerade Ball, you play your Angoulême. Your opponent then plays Coup de Grâce on your Angoulême, thinking you have ball, but you don't. Mm. So essentially, it's a 6-point play, and from there, they're just stuffed. You win round three by like 50, 60 points. Am I back?
Yeah, you're still with us.
Sir. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, so it's a really good idea, I think, to think on your two feet and react to the meta. Don't just blindly net. If you're new to the game, you're going to net deck because you don't have experience. But once you've got experience, I think it's a good idea to really have a look at what's surrounding you in the meta, in your matchups, and react to that. Without going overboard, of course. Because sometimes I face opponents, they're running Heatwave, Leo, Invo, Spores, Vincent. You know, just...
Yeah. Every tall punisher.
Take a chill pill.
Yeah. Okay, I think I saw a deck recently like that where Spyro was playing his V deck. I think it was 2 days ago, and a guy ran that deck where he ran Invo, Leo, Vincent, Spores, and he was like, what is this deck? It's literally countered for Vi, and it was just a lockdown list.
Yeah. And what's hilarious is you're going to lose so many matchups, so many games, because you're so heavily teched against one specific deck. But if you're facing Lippy, for example, it's just an awful return on investment.
I think it was just somebody Q-sniping him, honestly. He was accusing his viewers of Q-sniping because he had to hide his Q-screen, basically.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday. I think he was running V at first on stream, and his first three opponents were locked down, funnily enough.
Yep. Yeah. So it's like, he's like, all right, very funny, guys. Just keep queuing into me. It was hilarious. Hmm.
So yeah.
But yeah, apparently that's an issue. I think Pyreball also mentioned that. He's being stream sniped at the moment.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit unfortunate.
It's the nature of the business. What can we say?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately.
So getting to our next topic. Ezra, what do we got?
I wanted to touch on what McBeard said in his Twitlonger posts, you know, just recently. He said he was leaving Gwent, and it's a strange situation, because I mean, the guy's been one of the most popular faces of Gwent when it comes to casters in the opens, and then also he was one of a fellow podcast creators as well. He was part of the Commander's Horn podcast that we all used to watch, you know, probably in the beginning, and then they also had the Merchants podcast as well that he would also appear on, I believe. And then, you know, he says with the lack of 2021 not getting a roadmap for Gwent, it's kind of hard for him to stay in the future of Gwent because there isn't going to be another expansion for 4 months. We've gotten to a point to where we're not going to have 3 expansions this year. They've already said that. And we may not even get another 70 card expansion. We may get like something smaller by the end of this year. Who knows?
Yeah. So, I mean, not to put like, we don't want to put words in his mouth, right? But he put a Twitlonger post on there, and just to highlight a few points that I thought were really interesting. He says, Gwent is an excellent game and something I think all card game players should experience. It has a unique take on card games that will never be duplicated. I don't think any game has taken as many risks as Gwent has in its tumultuous history, and I applaud that bravery. Unfortunately, the game has lost its appeal. Then he kind of goes into the hard truths are there will not be another expansion for 4 months. There will not be 3 expansions this year, and due to that, maybe no more than 140 cards like Ezra was talking about. The declaration of no roadmaps really hurt its biggest competitors. Hearthstone, Magic the Gathering, Legends of Runeterra all have detailed roadmaps through 2020 and 2021. He's had gripes with broken patches, card balance, and decisions to outright remove cards from the collection, but this was different. I think, you know, it's a combination of a couple things, right? He says in the beginning of the post that gaming, you know, used to be his escape, and now is kind of more of his, I guess you could say, life. But like I said, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but you can read the post. It's on there. So what do you guys think about, what reaction-wise, to him leaving? I mean, if you have one.
Yeah, it's a huge loss. He's one of the first personalities I ever discovered when I was getting into Gwent. If he's not the face of Gwent, he's certainly one of them, being involved in the tournaments, casting and whatnot. But when it's your livelihood, I don't know what your guys' situation is, but the chump change I make on YouTube ads, I can't live off that. But for him, when it's your livelihood, I can understand. You know, I'd get frustrated too. I'd have to find something else because I'd be depressed and bored all day long, and it's a cycle. You'd think, well, shit, I gotta be positive. I gotta be energetic. This is how I'm living. But it's a shame. And I read it again this morning. I noticed he, in his YouTube video and that post, he didn't even really acknowledge that. Look, this isn't forever, guys. You know, I'm not saying never Gwent again. I may come back if things change. He didn't even say that. This really seems like a goodbye. It's a shame. I don't know if there's been a bigger goodbye since, I don't know, Mega Mogwai or Merchant, but I wasn't really into Gwent too much at that point. But I don't know. Other people will fill the gap. We've still got a lot of fantastic personalities and ambassadors for the game. So
it's a loss, but like I feel like, you know, a lot of what he says I agree on. You know, this game truly does need constant updates or constant expansions to keep the game going. Like it's truly unique, the cards, the art, lore, there's nothing like it, you know, in any other card game, in my opinion. So like all of what he says I agree on. You know, this game truly does need to keep going. It doesn't deserve to have a lull period like we are having now. And then with the recent controversies of, you know, Cyberpunk, like that doesn't help either, because it affects even Gwent, because it's CDPR as a whole.
I think too, we're not, you know, at least I'm not as big as McBeard. I don't know about you guys, but we don't people who might listen to the podcast don't have the same look into how it feels to be a streamer, you know, because you have to have an excitement. He brought up a really good point. Unfortunately, the game has lost its appeal on me. The game is in great state at many levels and has passionate people at the helm, but for me, the excitement is no longer there. With that, I can't really do what I'm really good at, and that's presenting work with enthusiasm and pride. So I give the guy a tons of respect on that case, right? Like, he has noticed that his content is not where it used to be and he can't be passionate about the game anymore. So why make content that he's not proud of and passionate about? And I think it's much, I remember when I started doing this, I was like, oh God, this is the easiest shit in the world. I just sit in front of a mic and play video games. Everyone's going to come watch me. You know what I mean? And you don't realize, like, you have to come to the table with an entirely different attitude. And you, if you're having a bad day, you can't really bring it along with you. I mean, who wants to sit and watch somebody bitching and moaning the entire time, you know? So it makes a really good point there. But then at the same time, I wanted to bring up Thor Serpent on Reddit. I think he works for CDPR. Brought up some really good points, and I wanted to kind of, we have plans possibly to have people from CDPR join us, but that's kind of way out in the game, so we don't want to start talking about that. But he kind of talks about the lack of the roadmap and things like that. In this part, I really liked. Now, to the lack of the roadmap part, I can sympathize with the feelings of frustration because of the uncertainty. People deserve, you know, to know what's going on with Gwent. This is sometimes silence on our part means that the team is working hard on something cool and exciting, and we have our reasons for waiting before sharing more details with you. The right moment is not always at the beginning or the end of a calendar year. Development cycles are different. Most of the time, we prefer to show the community something meaningful rather than just explain the basic idea. Once certain things are locked and ready, we'll do just that. And I think that's a really good point. You know, Blizzard was always one of the big people of this, is that it's ready when it's ready. Like, we don't want to come out and, which they have before, but whatever, but we don't want to come out and just say, hey, we got this idea, but we don't know when it's coming out, you know? What else do you guys think?
Well, I think for a long time, Gwent's Achilles heel has been marketing. I think they haven't really learned their lessons from a marketing perspective. And the game needs hype. I'm not a huge fan of hype, continuous hype, but it needs hype from you know, time to time, especially when it feels so stale so quickly. Like, the expansion was early December. We're already looking for ideas. You know, we're at the bottom of the barrel, at the bottom of the bucket at the moment, finding ideas for, you know, YouTube, for Twitch. There's barely anything to find now. I think they need to have a more consistent content cycle for sure. I don't know if they have the manpower for that, but if you want the game to be successful and healthy, it needs to be more regular, and we all need a bit of hype from time to time.
Yeah, and they have said multiple times that it has nothing to do with Cyberpunk. I know the CDPR took off a decent amount of time in December, so that also is going to cause some issues with releasing things. And me and Ezra, you know, in Q, when we kind of talk about what we're going to talk on the podcast, we will send messages like, what the hell are we going to talk about this week, and not sound like we're rehashing the exact thing over and over again. Mm. I think one of the things that's killing them is communication, right? Mm. And maybe coming out and talking more. So, like, if you listen to this CDPR or anyone on the Gwent team, I use an example. It's called State of the Game, and I used to play The Division a bunch. And The Division 2 has something called State of the Game, where it's like a 30 to 45 minute episode, maybe not that long, but once a week, once every other week, where the community director will hold a Twitch live stream and will bring developers on to talk about balance changes, to talk about the concerns of the community and what they're doing to fix it. I think if we kind of gave the community that outlet to come and listen to the developers and talk about things they want to see, it could be really healthy for the community. Because like some of these people say in the Thor Serpent said, if you want to help, I have one request for you. Please be constructive in your feedback. Some of the comments are often just plain toxic and filled with often baseless assumptions. I know the Gwent community is better than that as a whole. So again, it's like, we can sit on Reddit and say the game sucks, you guys suck, throw more money at the game, that will fix everything, you know, but what are we kind of presenting to them? So I think if they had that Twitch stream, maybe, like I said, once a month, hell, you know, where it's an hour of them talking about, they see this, they see that, they want to fix this, they want to fix that, and then giving people the option to ask questions, I think could be really good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this isn't new. They know, we've told them so many times over the years that communication is a huge issue, and they haven't really, you know, bucked up their ideas. I mean, obviously toxic comments are never acceptable, but by having that lack of communication, you're allowing this toxicity to fester and for more, you know, toxic comments to show up in on Twitter, on Twitch, etc. Like, for example, with the expansion, I think we all knew as soon as we saw the first few days of the meta that V would be problematic. What they could have done at that stage was say, look, guys, it's the holiday period here. There won't be any hotfix for V. We would all be disappointed for sure, but at least we'll be aware that there won't be any changes and we'll cater for it. But it was radio silence throughout December, and at the beginning of January, it was just a comment. It wasn't even an official statement. It was Berzer who said on Twitter, oh, no hotfix for V. And, you know, everyone was just really upset because it's a huge problem. Everyone knows it. Well, we've had to wait 2 months for it to be fixed. It's not even fixed yet. It will be fixed probably next week sometime. But it's just really disappointing. It's simple communication that is letting them down.
Yeah, that's right. It reminds me of that Seinfeld episode where George has the mentality that, oh, my girlfriend can't break up with me if I just never talk to her again. They have the attitude that, oh, they can't be mad at us if we just never talk to them. Like you said, Tilt Bro, the communication has always been the problem. And I love those guys, Berger and Jason and all of them. I know their heart's in the right place, but just like you say, a tiny little update, a 5-minute video, it'd go a long way.
You think more posts on Twitter about like the plans they have? Do you think maybe releasing a video? Do you think having like a Twitch stream? What do you think? I mean, what would you recommend them do to make the communication better?
I liked your idea. A monthly 5-10 minute update. Mm. You know, yeah. Nothing wrong with that. And it's easy, you know, 10 minutes, everyone can do that. Can't think of anything better than that.
For sure.
Like I was saying, I feel like in this community, it truly is like kind of like a big, close-knit family in a sense. Like everybody's really nice to each other on some days, and then people are really bad on Reddit. People are really toxic on Reddit, but I mean, like most of the time on the Twitch side, it's really nice. Some people, you know, are positive, others are negative, but most of the time the Twitch Gwent community is very welcoming. I try to include a lot of newer people on the podcast who just started out, and try to make them feel welcome, even if I do barely, you know, hang out in their channel and whatnot. I'd still try to at least make the attempt to look for new talent, in a sense, to bring on as guests.
That's great.
So, like, the community is always there to improve. You know, if I guess on the development side of the game, if they did the same, we would all probably be a lot more, what's the word, I guess, positive in a sense as to what they bring.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I came to Gwent, you know, for the lore, for the artwork, etc. But I mostly stayed for the community. I really appreciate the community and being a part of it, for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, you need a roadmap, honestly. You need a roadmap. It's your way of telling your customers, this is coming out this year, this is what you need to be hyped for. But having that radio silence is just it's just a real Achilles heel of theirs at the moment. Because we don't know, is it confirmed that there are two expansions this year?
I have no idea. Is it a certainty?
I mean, just going off of what Nick Beard said, I mean, we really don't know, because like I said, that's just from what he said. But I mean, I would assume, you know, if what he's said so far, and you know, it can be pretty reliable, because, you know, he's a caster.
It's not that there's a communication problem.
I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I mean, we can only speculate if there is only going to be two expansions per year instead of the three, how everybody would like it to be.
Because it almost feels as if they're making it up as they go along, and they're not sure of what their roadmap is, even internally.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we don't know. We're not flies on the wall, so we can't see how the situation is there, but it just feels quite chaotic, and they'll release their content when they release it, essentially, without any...
You know, but that's the funny part, though, because, like, when The Way of the Witcher was announced, we were all like, okay... This is really nice. This is super hyped. We're getting all these new cards, and we made all our speculations about all the cards when they were revealing them day by day on the website. And then now we were like, okay, most of these cards are going to be memes. And then it also brought the creation of Vi into the meta. We were like, yep, Vi is never going to be a problem. It's just a meme.
Well, it turns out if you have enough tutors for Vi, it's really strong.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we're talking the same way too when Master Mirror came out, when the Echo cards were introduced, Amphibious Assault, Oniromancy. I was so hyped for those cards because I was like, wow, these are actually going to be able to pull anything you want out of your deck.
Yeah.
And then, who remembers original Herald on Crate, like during the old Devotion Warrior stays when they used to dominate?
Yeah, Second Wind. That was...
Second Wind, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And he was extremely busted.
Yeah.
Come down to what, 6 power? 5 or 6 power, right?
6 power, armor piercing as well.
Yep, armor piercing, and then deals random just damage.
Machine guns the lava.
Yep.
Yeah. And you could... The leader was so unhealthy because you could play your win cons in round one and then recycle them. Not only play your win cons, but you're encouraged to play your win cons in round one and then bring them back out in round three with your great swords and your dagger.
It was
insane.
I remember those lists. Like, I mean, watching the very first open was, I think, when Nick R and Demarcation were playing against each other, and he was using that Second Wind Skellige list. That's what made me fall in love with Skellige. And it's funny because, like, all of that was during Master Mirror. Like, I really truly think, like, out of expansions, Master Mirror probably brought the most overused and most broken cards compared to Way of the Witcher.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Because, I mean, they're still being used to this day.
Hard to disagree with that. Yeah, a lot of the cards still define the meta, for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're coming up at, well, we're at about 40 minutes, and we try to keep it around that. But what do you guys have anything you want to talk about going on in your communities or your pro teams or anything like that? Your streams, your YouTube channels?
Well, it's been radio silence from me the past few weeks, to be honest. I found it really difficult to stream in this current meta. So, yeah, I've decided to take a break from streaming for the time being and maybe see what the new patch brings. So, yeah, for the most part, I've just been grinding offline for Top 64. But, yeah, hopefully I'll be back streaming sometime next week. We'll see.
And that's awesome, man. I've had daydreams about pushing, you know, for the top levels. But I just loathe mirror matches. Always have. And I just feel like I'd face a lot of those on the climb. But yeah, props to you, man. That's great.
Thanks. I mean, so
I have to ask, Fuchsia, have you ever decided to do a live Twitch stream or no?
I've done it.
Would it ever be possible?
I have done it maybe twice on the Twitch. It's hard for me to figure it out. Like I was saying before we went live, I'm an old man. I don't know the technology. I don't know the Keck W. I don't know the Poggers. I don't know what these words mean. So, I might do. I might ramp it up every now and then. It's fun. I did enjoy it, the live aspect. Yeah, we'll see. Stay tuned.
Alright, yeah, well. We don't got anything else, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Get your perspective. We hope you guys enjoyed the episode. If you like it, please hit the subscribe button in your podcast engine of choice. Also, use the comment section wherever and say what you want, man. We need some criticism. So, thank you guys so much again for joining us, and we'll catch you next week. Peace.